Now, will you notice? For as touching those, now will you listen to it, who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fell away. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, in reading these verses that I've just read, we are brought now to the very center of the study. And I want you to notice, for it is impossible if they shall fall away. Now, the word fall away is an interesting word. In the Greek, it's parapipto. And it's used in other places in Scripture. It never means apostatize. It simply means to fall down, to stumble. It would be absolutely impossible to give it the meaning of apostasy. And you will find that the word parapipto was used in speaking of our Lord when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed. Now, the word, it's the same word, parapipto, means just that he fell down. The word means to stumble or fall. Peter fell, but he was not lost. The Lord Jesus said, I prayed that your faith might not fail. He suffered loss, but he was not lost. Then there's the example, I think, of John Mark. He failed so miserably on the first missionary journey that when his uncle Barnabas suggested that he go on the second journey, well, Paul the apostle turned him down and he says, never, this lad's failed. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm through with him. Well, thank God that God wasn't through with him. He stumbled and fell, but God wasn't through with him. And Paul the apostle had to change his mind because before he died, he wrote, he says, bring John Mark with you, for he is profitable to me for the gospel. Now, may I say to you, neither man lost his salvation, but he sure failed, and he suffered loss for it. Now, if we go back to this first verse of the sixth chapter, we'll see that Paul is talking to folk here about repentance from dead works. You'll understand that Paul is talking to them not about salvation, but repentance. And you'll remember that John preached this to the people also. And what did he say? Bring forth the fruit that's worthy of repentance. He's talking about that which is the evidence of repentance. Repentance today does not mean the shedding of a few tears. It means turning right about face toward Jesus Christ, which means a change in your direction, in your life, in your way of living. Now, many of these Jewish believers were returning to the temple sacrifice at that time, and the writer to the Hebrews was warning them of the danger of that. And before Christ came, every sacrifice was a picture of and pointed to his coming. But after Christ came and died on the cross, that which God commanded in the Old Testament now becomes sin. You see, those people were at a strategic point in time and history. They were at the time when a few days before they had gone to the temple with a sacrifice because God commanded it, and now it's wrong for them to do that. Were you today to offer a bloody sacrifice, you would be sacrificing afresh the Lord Jesus Christ because you'd be saying that when he died 1900 years ago, it was of no avail and that you still need a sacrifice to take care of your sin. Therefore, you would not have faith in his atonement, in his death, in his redemption. Now, someone has said that today. We either crucify or crown the Lord Jesus by our lives. Today, we either exhibit a life of faith are a life by which we crucify him afresh. Especially today when we talk about getting back under the Mosaic system and we have to keep the law. It's a serious matter to go back on these things. Now let me look again at this word here. If they shall fall away, having fallen away. you can leave the if out. It's actually not in the text at all. And when someone says that this is the biggest if in the Bible, well, there's no if here. Having fallen away, or when they fall away. And if you want to use if, it makes, I think, better sense to use it, but not in the sense of condition, but argument, having fallen away. It'd be impossible to renew them again to repentance. Why? Well, we're talking about the fruit of salvation. And it's a serious thing to have accepted Christ and then to live in sin, then to nullify what you do by being a baby and never growing up and doing nothing in the world but working with wood, hay, and stubble. Now, Paul put this same thing in a little different language in the Corinthians. He says, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Your salvation is a foundation. You rest upon it. You can not only rest on it, you're going to build on it. Now, if any man build, Paul says, you can build with six different kinds of material, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. Now, what are you building with today? Are you building up a whole lot of wood, hay, and stubble? A lot of church work today is nothing in the world but wood, hay, and stubble. We are great on organization today and on committees and that sort of thing. But really, do our lives count for God today? Are there going to be people in heaven that will be able to point to you and say, because of your life or your testimony, you gave me the Word of God. And you remember he says, you should be teachers in the Word, and now you need somebody to teach you again. I rejoice today, and somebody said to me, how can you rejoice in that? They're taking your place. All these Bible classes that are springing up, and they're using tapes in your material while they're going to saturate the world. Friends, I hope they do. Why? Because of the fact that is the purpose of all of this, is to get out the Word of God today so that He can bless us, so we can grow up, so we can be a blessing to other people. And that is the thing that He's talking about here that is so essential. And there is a grave danger that we build in wood, hay, and stubble. And by the way, there is a difference between a straw stack and a diamond ring. You can lose a diamond ring in a straw stack because the ring is so small. And I'm afraid today that a great many folk trying to make an impression. One pastor told me, said, I'm killing myself. I have to turn in a report this year bigger than last year. And we have to increase church membership and converts and giving to missions. My friend, may I say to you, let's quit this building in wood, hay, and stubble. How many people were taught the Word of God? How many people actually turned to Christ? How many people were really blessed? And that's the thing he's talking about here. He says there is a danger that you're going to build with wood, hay, and stubble, and every man's work's going to be tested by fire. Now, what will fire do with wood, hay, and stubble? Poof! It's just going to go up in smoke. There'll be nothing left. And that's what he's going to talk about here. The fact that it'll be destroyed. That's what the Lord Jesus talked about in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. He says, I'm the vine. I'm the genuine vine. You're branches. Now, you're to do what? Bear fruit. You're to bear fruit. What kind of fruit? He says, I'd like a full crop of grapes. And he said again in a parable, he made it very clear, that the seed falls on good ground. What's it to do? Bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. He'd like to get 100-fold. Now he says, if there's a branch that won't bear fruit, why do he say, I'm going to take it away, going to burn it, going to remove it from the place of fruit bearing? And my friend, I think he's doing that today. Now, I look back here in Southern California over about 30-some-odd years that I've been in this area. I came here in 1940. Well, I have watched a great many things happen. I have watched laymen. They were men who worked in wood, hay, and stubble. And then I've seen them work with gold. I know a layman that was so prominent when I came here, that man got involved in dishonest transactions, I wouldn't want to go into the presence of Christ. Is that man's going to have to go? I think that he's lost his testimony. And yet, a gifted man, and a man that you can't help but like, I even today consider him a friend. And then I know a minister. He was so attractive. In fact, he was a little too attractive. And he had an affair with another woman. It was not his wife. Finally divorced his wife. And he tried during all that time to keep on teaching, but it didn't amount to anything. He was just putting up a whole lot of straw, not even baling hay. He just making a big old haystack. And finally, the match was put to it, I guess, because he sure didn't leave anything down here. Oh, today, how careful we should be about our Christian lives. And we can't do this in and of ourselves. We need to recognize that he is the vine. If we're to have any life, it must come from him. And if there's any fruit, it must come from him. It can only go through us, because that's all a branch is. It's just sort of a connecting rod. That's all. It connects into the vine and it gets out yonder and bears some fruit, a few grapes out there. That's the thing that he's talking about here, friends. Now, let's look here again at what he's saying. If they shall fall away, having fallen away, having fallen down, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. The thing is, you can shed tears all you want to, but you've lost your testimony. That preacher came to me, talked to me. He said, I'm through. He's attempted to move to several sections up and down the coast and every place. He's had an affair with a woman. And what's happened? He's lost his testimony. He can't go anywhere today. May I say to you that he's talking about that here. It's impossible to renew them to repentance. I don't question his salvation, but I say this. Gifted individual, a man that can be mightily used to God, but not seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, they put him to an open shame. My friend, any time that you add any works to your salvation, any time that you are saying, I'm a born-again child of God, and then you live like the devil's son, then you're crucifying the Son of God, because he came to give you a perfect redemption and to enable you by the indwelling Holy Spirit to be filled with the Spirit of God to live for him. Now, he goes on, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, that bringeth forth herbs meet for them for whom it's dressed, receiveth blessing from God. These herbs bring forth a blessing to man. They are delicious to eat. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Now, the word reject here is the same word Paul used. Paul says, I keep under my body that I might not be rejected or cast out, but that I might be disapproved. Paul says, when I come into his presence, I don't want to be disapproved. I don't want the Lord Jesus to say to me, you failed me. Your life should have been a testimony. It's not. And friends, you're going to hear it if you don't live for it. Now, somebody needs to say that. Now, I know that's not popular. It's lots popular today to have some comforting music and read a lovely little poem and quote John 14 of the 23rd Psalm, and they're wonderful. Oh, my, how we need those. But my friend, you're going to stand before him someday. And you're before him today, for that matter. Now, he says, you could be disapproved. And thank God Paul could say when he came to the end of his life, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I know there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, to live for God today. But, beloved, now this is the key. We are persuaded better things of you. Paul says, I'm persuaded that you today are going to live for God. And you're not going to be a babe in Christ, but you're going to grow up. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak.